Easter tradition that I say Christ is risen.
Oh,
we'll try that again. Christ is risen. Okay, all right. Just want to make sure we get that tradition right. Please join me in your red hymnal to number 549, and we'll begin by singing the doxology, number 549. Worship is hymn number 694. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 300, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Number 300, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Gracious God, it is so good that we can come and worship you here on this Easter Sunday morning. We do not take for granted the sacrifice that you have made for each and every one of us by your death, your crucifixion. But Lord, more importantly, we are here to celebrate and to honor the empty tomb and your resurrection. For it is what we believe in, all of us have, as we partake and understand our desires to be with you, Lord, in every day of our lives. And God, as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, Lord, we are just so thankful that we can come to you and pray on this Easter Sunday morning. And we do so out of desire to have a better understanding of our relationship with you in our prayers. And God, also to have a better understanding of our relationship that you want us to have with each other. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers and all of our imperfections in terms of who we are, but God, you still love us. And it is with those challenges that we come before you, the needs that we have. But Lord, we not only think of our own needs, but we think of the needs of others, of family members, of friends, of patients throughout this medical center, of the staff that is visiting, of working here today and the family members that will be visiting. Lord, I would just ask that you would hear those prayers as well. And God, collectively, as we come before you as an act of worship, that you will hear our intentions in our prayers and what we truly mean and what we truly care about and what we truly need. Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is number 298, Were You There? Number 298, Were You There? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Without singing that on Easter Sunday morning. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we just sense your love this morning as we come and worship. And Lord, it is in that presence, it is in that desire that we want to love you more and more. And we want to love each other more and more. And God, I would ask that you would help me to consider that in our everyday lives, to wrap ourselves around your concept of love for us as we share it with others. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, it is difficult at times on Easter Sunday morning to come up with a sermon that is something different, but yet maintains the tradition in terms of what we celebrate, the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb. And as I was thinking about it this week in terms of how I could approach this subject and idea, it didn't really happen to me in terms of what I was actually going to begin with until yesterday evening. And I was watching some things on television as we celebrate Easter, and there's a variety of things that is there for us to view. And of course, one of my traditional ones that just happened to be on, I was flipping through the channels. I'm a channel flipper. You know that? When you got the remote control in your hand, right, it's the scepter, and you sit in the throne, and you're the king, and you control the television set. And so you understand what I'm talking about, right? So I was just flipping through the channels, and there, lo and behold, was the Ten Commandments, the movie, the Ten Commandments. And I actually remarked to Lynn, hey, look what's on, the Ten Commandments. So we actually sat and watched it yesterday evening, before it was time for me to go to bed, because I go to bed earlier than I used to. And so as we were watching it, Lynn was busy doing the things that she wanted to do, and as I was reflecting on the Ten Commandments, it reminded me on when I first saw the Ten Commandments. And it was in a drive-in theater. Does anybody remember what a drive-in theater is, or was? All right. So there was a church in the area where we lived, just outside of Columbus, Ohio, where I was living as a young man. I was probably no more than 7 or 8 years old. And every Saturday evening, they would rent the drive-in and they would show a motion picture that had something to do with faith, had something to do with belief, it had something to do with Christ. And one of the films that they would always show was The Ten Commandments. And I remember going there as a young man with my family, because we kind of didn't go to movies. If you remember, if you grew up in that tradition, you kind of didn't do the movie thing. But it was okay to go to the drive-in to watch a Christian picture or a picture about faith. And we watched the Ten Commandments on multiple occasions. And I was reflecting on that. And obviously, being 7 or 8 years old is a long time ago for me. And last week we celebrated my 59th birthday, so it is a long time for me when I was 7 and 8 years old. But as I reflected on the Ten Commandments, and all of you can reflect on that if you think about the story of the Exodus and Moses and all those kind of cool things, so shall it be written, so shall it be done, you know, quotes from that movie. Some of you remember. Okay, Ron. And as I was reflecting on the movie, one of the things that came to mind as Moses journeyed through the desert to get to where he needed to be, to begin his mission, to begin his task, to tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go from Egypt. He endured a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. In fact, earlier that day, I had put a little quote on my little devotional that I do on a daily basis. And I actually said, when we have doubts about God, it is because of our own personal pain. So think about that for a minute. When we have doubts about God, it is about our own personal pain. Does that make sense to you? Because I was trying to put it in such a way where as I was reflecting upon it, and I think about the times in my life when I have doubts about God. It happens to me when I am reflecting on events in my life and dealing with my own personal pain, that I have doubts about God. So I was thinking perhaps you do as well, that when you're dealing with your own personal pain and things that you've experienced in your life and trying to figure out that pain and the events that have taken place, that you have your doubts about God. And I would think that all of us, if we reflect upon it, that that statement would be true. Because I know it's true for me, and I'm no different than any of you, so I'm making the assumption that it is true for you as well. But as we celebrate Easter Sunday morning and Christ rising from the grave, rising from the tomb, we also need to be reminded of the pain that he had, the pain that he experienced. Because his pain was no different than our pain. His life was no different than our lives in terms of dealing with the everyday challenges that you and I face in terms of our normal existence that we have. Dealing with people, dealing with relationships, struggling with all of those things. In fact, in all honesty, as we think about Christ's journey and as he is in Gethsemane and as he's praying, what is he praying about? He's asking God to help him because he knows he's going to be enduring pain and suffering, and he does not want to do that. If it be possible, take this cup from me. I know that I've been finding myself in situations over the last couple of years where I have actually said, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Because I don't want to deal with the pain. I don't want to deal with the hurt. Because I know it makes me at times doubt the whole existence and the relationship that I have with God. But yet it should not. We should have the confidence in our relationship with Christ. We should understand that in the nature of God, we put everything through faith, and that means our pain as well. One of the things I wanted to say this morning, and we talked about it last Sunday after service, that there is no judgment here. I am not here to judge anyone. Christ is not here to judge anyone. Christ did not come to judge, but he came to save. Those are the words in the scriptures, not me. And so on Easter Sunday morning, when we come before God in all honesty in terms of who we are and all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our suffering, God says to each and every one of us in the presence of his Holy Spirit that he does not judge us. He does not condemn us. Because if he did, then we truly shouldn't be here on Easter Sunday morning. Because Christ's representation to us, his act of death, his act of crucifixion, his act of resurrection, and later on his ascension, means that you and I can partake of that relationship that God has always wanted us to have every day. It does not mean that we are going to have a pain-free day. What it does mean, it reminds us that we have a way in which we can deal with that pain. It's a reminder that there is a way that you and I can deal with the suffering that we are experiencing, the physical and the emotional pains that we have, the spiritual pains that we have, the achings, the longings in the depths of our soul that you and I have, that we don't share with anyone else, that we don't confide in with anyone else. But God knows what they are. And for me, those longings many times are just so painful for me to experience. But yet God says, in the same way that Jesus Christ rose from the tomb, rose from the grave, I can deal and transform those innermost parts of your being that is dealing with that pain, that is dealing with that suffering, and I can transform them. I can give you victory over them. I can give you peace over them. It does not mean that the memories or the thoughts of those events will disappear. But what God does tell us, as we walk with Him in faith, as we allow the transformation process to continue with us every day and do not allow it to stop, allow it to continue to work itself, that transformation process, as we take that one step at a time, those memories that we try to forget, those hurts that we try no longer to remember, they will fade away over time. But we need to make that attempt in faith to believe in what Christ has done for us. And we're not going to find relief from that pain that you and I truly understand what truly pain is. We're not going to find it in human philosophy. We're not going to find it in different types of traditions of things that are in and of this world. That transformation will only take place in a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is a mystery of faith. I will have doubts about it at times. Why? Because I will be dealing with my own personal pain as I walk with God. And if you have the same struggle, if you're dealing with the same type of suffering, we just need to remind ourselves that within that suffering, you and I can have the victory that God wants us to have. Because of what Christ has done for us, we can have victory over those things. Just as God had victory over the suffering of His Son, Jesus Christ, so you and I can have the glory of the suffering that we have had to endure in this life. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. But I want to tell you that pain should give you the remembrance of what Christ did for us on the cross. That hurt should make you reflective as Christ has suffered for you. He can begin that healing process with you. He can deal with the healing process that you are suffering with, that you need to have in your life. The transformation in terms of understanding what the Christ of the cross did for us, what the blood of the cross did for us, to understand that in that victory that you and I are one with God in all things. And God wants us to be complete in that process. But it is something that we need to be aware of on a daily basis, to keep on working towards that. And we are going to continue to have doubts. But it's just a reminder that God wants to continue to work in that process with you. And that God wants to work in your life to begin that healing process of the various things that you might be struggling with. The pains and the memories of the past that you would like to have healed once and for all. But it is a process. And we know that when you come to know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and you have the forgiveness of sins, that is the beginning point. Your life with God through Jesus Christ does not end there. It begins there. It's more than just having a fire insurance policy. Okay, God, now I know I'm not going to go to hell. And I know that I'm going to have eternal life. Thank you very much. Now I can live the way that I want to live. It doesn't happen that way. Because what's going to happen if you live that way is you will continue to walk in your own personal pain and not fully experience the healing power that God wants you to have in the forgiveness of my sins and in the forgiveness of your sins. And there's nothing that the world can offer you to give you such a completeness. Because we go before God in all honesty in terms of who we are. In terms of God's creation. And then we see, and then we begin to understand the fullness of God's love for us. We embrace that in spirit and in truth. And as we talked about what grace is that trophy that everybody gets. Remember we shared that? The understanding of grace that it is for everybody. Everybody gets the trophy of grace from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we don't even have to participate. We just have to be willing to allow Christ to come into our lives. And then we see the fullness of God's love for us. And then we begin to see the power of God working in our lives in very special ways. Things that we never thought of before. And then we can truly understand what Christ's death represents to us. What Christ's resurrection means to us. As we partake not only of eternal life, but of the eternal life that God wants us to have right now in the present. God wants you to have life to the fullest. Life to the fullest in such a way that you embrace the teachings of God. You embrace the teachings of Christ. You understand what the atonement for your sins means. You understand the relationship that God wants you to have. It will not be one of perfection. I will make mistakes today. I've already made mistakes this morning. But as we walk in that imperfection, we believe in the one that was perfect, who did not deserve the death of the cross for you or for me. The perfection that you and I partake of is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is in that perfection that you and I, with Christ, rise from the grave of our old nature of sin. Rise from the grave of our old nature of pain and in suffering. And we take on that new nature that God wants us to have every day. Today, He wants you to have that new nature. Today, He wants you to begin that process to deal with that pain. If you are doubting God this morning, then I would suggest to you that there's some personal pain that perhaps you need to confess before God so you can begin that healing process with him. That's a call that you have to make. That's a call that is something between you and God. There is no judgment here, and there's no judgment from Christ either, other than his love. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we come together and celebrate what Christ's death and what his resurrection truly means. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful for your grace, for your truth in our lives. And Lord, we don't always get it right. We are so flawed. But we thank you for not judging us, but continue in your love for us. Lord, I know that I deal with personal pain, and perhaps some others do here as well. Lord, I would just ask that you would help me deal with the personal pains that we are experiencing. And then when doubts occur about our relationship with you, God, it is a reminder that we just have some more work to do, but that your love is there for us in all of those circumstances to help us. Lord, I thank you that you provide that grace to us, that everyone has it given to them through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for forgiving us of our sins and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 297, "On a Hill Far Away." Gracious God, we are so thankful for this beautiful Easter Sunday morning that we can come and worship you as one family of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I would ask that you would bless each and every one that has made the effort to come to honor you this morning. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please turn with me in your red hymnals to number 549, and we'll sing the doxology together, number 549. Worship is hymn number 694. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. With his stripes we are healed. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 399, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Taking away
Thank you for singing with me this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, it is so wonderful to be in your house this morning as we come and worship you. And Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we have to worship you freely according to our faith in you and according to our conscience and what we believe in as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we come before you with our needs and requests, we also think of the needs of family members and of friends, the needs of the patients that are here throughout this medical center, the needs of the staff that are working, the needs of the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, we just lift them all up to you because we know as we have our own individual needs, as we have our own individual struggles, so they have their individual needs and struggles as well. And Lord, as we pray for ourselves, we also pray for them. And Lord, we think of others throughout this city, throughout this state, throughout this nation, throughout the world in which we live. And God, right now, you are calling to mind those people that you want us to pray for. And Lord, we lift them up to you. And God, we would ask that in all of the circumstances that you would remind them that they are never alone, that you haven't forsaken them, even in the darkest moments of grief and pain, you are there with them. And God, we are so thankful that you have taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 395, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us this morning by our time of prayer, by the time of reading your scripture, by the time of us singing hymns, reminding us of the grace that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we are just so consumed by your love and your presence. And God, we just want to thank you. We just want to praise you for that. And God, I would ask that you would help me to continue the reminders of that presence in our lives. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and we actually have the palms out, and feel free to take a palm when you leave here today to remember of Christ's entry into Jerusalem, where he was beginning his time in which he would be going to the cross and being put to death. But also, the reminder that he rose from the grave, and then later on, he ascended into heaven. So even though the story starts off with people saying Hosanna and glory to him and worshiping him in that sense in terms of who he was as the representation of the Messiah as Christ, and we also see, as we will talk about next week, his death, his crucifixion, but also his resurrection and what that means for us. So Jesus is sharing with the disciples and identifying with them in terms of who they were and the understanding that they had of the stories of the Hebrew scriptures. And one of those stories is Jesus' reference to the fact that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of God, Son of Man, must be lifted up. And that story goes back to when the Israelites were in the Exodus process going to the Promised Land. And at the time that Jesus is referencing this part in the scriptures, the Israelites had just had a tremendous big victory over the Canaanites. In fact, they were feeling pretty good about it because God had given them that victory. But there was another nation called Edom, and the king of Edom would not let the Israelites pass through on their way. And so Moses told the Israelites in their Exodus process that they had to go around the nation of Edom, the country of Edom, to get to the promised land that God had for them. And the people did not like that. The people were grumbling. The people were very upset about the fact that here we are, so close, we just had this tremendous victory, and now we have to go in a different direction, hundreds of miles to get to where we need to be in the promised land that is for us. And so they began to grumble, and they began to complain, and they began to complain about the fact that they didn't have any food, which was not true, because God had provided them manna from heaven every day, and they were sick of the manna. They were tired of having to look for water, and they were just belly aching about everything. And so God sent serpents, snakes, to the Israelites, and these serpents, these snakes were fiery snakes, fiery serpents. And they believed that every time that they were bitten, there was an intense burning sensation that took place, and then you would die after you received the snake bite. So God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and to put it on a staff, And all those that were bitten, if they looked upon the staff with the bronze serpent on it, believing that they would be healed, that they would be saved, that death would not occur to them. And so that's exactly what happened. Those that had been bitten by the snakes, by the serpents, when they looked upon the image on the staff, that they were healed, they were saved from death. And Jesus gives us that example. And it's an interesting example because if you think about it, a couple of things here. Later on, he will be raised up, right, on a cross. And that symbol would represent to many people later on the fact that he is our healer from eternal death. That if we believe in faith on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that we too will have life and that we will have it abundantly. And so Jesus gave his disciples this example, and they knew of the story. They knew what had happened to the Israelites during their Exodus. They knew of their belly aching and their griping. And I'm always so glad when I read those stories that people in the past are the same that we are today. We grumble. We gripe about our circumstances. We complain when things are going so well for us, and then we feel that God is on our side and that nothing can stop us, but then all of a sudden God takes us in a different direction. And I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling that I'm on a winning streak, I don't want that winning streak to stop. I want it to continue. And when God tells me to go in a different direction that seems to be contrary to what I am thinking and contrary to my plans, I find myself grumbling, complaining, belly aching, upset with God that he's not fulfilling the plans that I have. So the people of the past in the scriptures, they are no different than you and I. Because we too probably would be responding in the same way that the Israelites responded. Because they wanted to get to their final destination. And it reminds me when you have children in the car with you and you're going on a long journey and they keep on asking again and again and again, when are we going to get there? You ever have that happen to you? I have that happen to me every time the grandkids get in the car with me and we're going for a little bit of a distance and they keep on wanting to know after a few minutes, when are we going to get there? We asked the same question of God. When are we going to get there? When are we going to receive the rewards that you have told us all about? When are we going to see and understand fully the life that you want us to have? But God tells us, as Jesus told the disciples in this brief passage of Scripture, that we are to have faith that God is in control of our circumstances. And many times that is difficult for us to understand because we do not like to go through trials. And when we have to go through trials, we know and we understand, but yet we still don't like it. The scriptures tell us that we are to persevere, that we are to have perseverance. And through that perseverance, it gives us the faith that we need to have. And through the faith that we have that eventual understanding of hope that we have in God. That is the lesson that God was trying to show the Israelites during the Exodus through Moses. That is what Christ is trying to show his disciples. That is what God is trying to show us today as we look to Christ's example in our life. That God wants us to persevere even though we don't like the trials. We need to acknowledge those trials. And we need to persevere, understanding that God is with us, that he has not forsaken us. And it's through that perseverance when we keep our eyes upon God that we begin to see and understand the faith that he wants us to have in all things. And as we begin and to see and understand the faith that God wants us to have, He gives us that hope that passes all of our understanding, that surpasses all of our reasoning, all of our logic, all of the things that should make sense, but yet they don't. But yet we see them totally and completely in the hope that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Palm Sunday for us is that triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And if you will, a victory. And seeing and understanding the Messiah to the people that were there. But yet we know how the story continues on during that week and at the end of that week. But then we see as Christ persevered and as Christ had hope, as had the faith, then we see the hope that God gives us through what the cross provides for us. And there's a teaching moment in that for each and every one of us. Because you and I are no different in the eyes of God. We have the same desires. We want to have a life that is good. And when we have trials, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be financial, we cry out to God. And God reminds us that as we persevere, as we don't give up, that through that effort, not on our own, but God walking by our side, we receive and understand the faith that God wants us to have. And in that faith, we see the hope that God wants us to have in this life and in the life to come. Because you see, Jesus Christ not only gave us eternal life that is to come, but the life that God has for us right now. I was reading something the other day, and the author was stating the facts that if we feel depressed about something, it's probably because we are looking at the past and the if-onlys and the things that we have liked to have changed if we could. And if we have anxiety, it's probably because we are looking to the future, trying to anticipate things that may happen or may not happen in our lives. And the author stressed the importance about looking at our everyday lives, the time that we have with each other, the time that we have with God, and the peace that can be given to us when we focus on what we do have. Not the things of the past, not the things that may be before us, but on the things that we have now. And the things that we have now in which you and I can embrace and enjoy. That you and I can enjoy the relationship and the life that God wants us to have. And understanding that gives us the peace that truly does pass all of our understanding. And as we sang the hymns this morning about God's grace, it is grace that covers the past, covers the future, and covers the present. And when we understand that, our life becomes more and more meaningful in everything we do. We begin and value the sense of time that God has given us with individuals, and we cherish that time that we have. And when we cherish those moments of the present that we have this peace because we know we are following God. We know that we are persevering with God. And we know and we understand that as we enjoy that moment, that it is with faith believing in all things. You and I have had trials of a different kind. Because each one of us, as we have journeyed through life, have experienced different things. But yet the trials, the whole idea of suffering, the whole idea of making mistakes, the whole idea of needing forgiveness, the whole idea of understanding that without Christ in our lives, that we are truly nothing. It is the same. It is the same for you. It is the same for me. Because then we see, as we are walking with God and we get to that place where we put our hope in all things in God, that we have that patience that makes us enjoy the present time that we have, gives us that peace. Because then we see that we're in that process that God wants us to have, that makes us more mature in understanding the things of God. And as we have that maturity, as we grow in Christ, we see ourselves in a sense of preparedness that whatever is before us, that we will not be afraid. Because greater is he that is in you, right? The Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. And we have that sense of being prepared for the unknowns, whatever they might be. Because we know that we are walking with God. And when we are walking with God, we too are lifted up. We're lifted up above those things that have been causing us so much emotional problems, so many things that have been upsetting to us, so many things that has confused us. And God lifts us up above all that. He lifts us up to give us a vantage point that we can only see when we are walking with God. A vantage point that is above all of it. Because when you're involved in conflict, when you are involved in a situation that is creating either depression or anxiety, you really can't see your way to get out of it until you get above it all. And God gives us the opportunity as we walk with God and as we understand our relationship with Christ, it is that hope that gives us the opportunity to see things from a different perspective, to see it from above. And it is one of those miraculous things that's hard to describe, but we find ourselves removed from the conflict and we are able to see it for ourselves the way it needs to be seen, so we can take the appropriate action that we need to do to make it right before God, so we can do the right thing in our lives that God wants us to do. And then as we are doing those things, we find and we see the relationships that God has us with other people in a very unique and different way, because we understand the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the people that are around us, because we are not afraid. We are not afraid because we know what the future is going to be like, but then we understand that in the present moment that God is with us always. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Do you believe that? That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you believe that? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to the world through him, that it may be saved. Do you believe that? Because if you believe that, God will give you the strength that you need to have to persevere through whatever those trials may be. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's later this week, whether it's later this month, whether it's sometime this year, to believe in what God has done for you gives you the strength and the understanding that you need to persevere through those. And we will see and we will understand, just like the Israelites understood when they looked upon the serpent on the staff, with faith believing, they were healed. And in the same way, when we think of the cross and we look at what Jesus has done for us on the cross, it gives us that faith believing to heal us from the sin that is in our lives, to heal us, to give us the freedom that we need to have to do the things that God wants us to do. And then we see through all of those circumstances that God gives us that hope, that unites us, that makes us different as followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is that hope that we have that makes us the followers of Jesus Christ, that makes us the church of Jesus Christ. And it is in that hope that we find that security. It is in that hope that we find the peace that God wants us to have. So it is my hope and prayer that as we look through this week and Easter coming up on next Sunday, that we understand that God wants us to have all of that, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our desires. He wants us to take all of those things before him and allow God to take us through each one of those steps to achieve not our will, but the will of God working in our lives, because that is the right thing to do. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion as we come before God wanting to do the right thing and embracing that relationship that he always has for us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us again and again how you want us to come to you in all things. And God, forgive us when we have not embraced the grace that you have for us. Forgive us when we have not put our trust in you in the way that we should. Forgive us for not having the faith that you can save us from the things that we are experiencing and the challenges that we are having in our lives. And God, all we can say right now is how thankful we are that you love us and that you care for us just the way we are, and how thankful we have in that relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, God, of our sins. Help us to embrace the freedom that we have in Christ so that we can do the right thing in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Please turn with me in your hymnals to number 389, Just As I Am. So thankful that you accept us in our act of worship, and Lord, we just don't deserve your love. Help us to understand, God, that your love is there for us. All you want us to do is to believe. Help us, God, to do that. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.